Welcome back to the Homeschool Advantage Podcast. I'm your host, Bex Buzzy. Today's guest is Samuel Young. He is the director of Young Scholars Academy. Samuel is a growth-minded, two-time Fulbright scholar. Samuel is also a neurodivergent educator who has ADHD. And as an ADHD learner, he has tremendous understanding of and experience in all things relating to the neurodiverse education. At Young Scholars Academy, you're going to get an enrichment program for neurodivergent students. It's going to offer strength-based, interest-focused enrichment courses so that your students can build meaningful relationships and connections around their unique interests. Samuel has been featured in the documentary 2E2, Teaching the Twice Exceptional. He's in the textbook, Understanding the Social and Emotional Lives of Gifted Students, the second edition, Variations Magazine, 2E News, and so many other publications. He's an extremely gifted man, and he has an immense amount of wisdom and knowledge. In this episode, we talk about that with the right supports and in the right environment, students can and will thrive. How homeschooling is arguably more aligned with modern workspace than the public school is. I 100% concur. And if you dream of your child being surrounded by friends in a caring community to become comfortable in his or her own skin, then Young Scholars Academy, it's what you're looking for. So go grab your coffee, go grab your tea and a pen and paper, because you're not going to want to miss what Samuel has to say. Let's get into the podcast. Say hello to our guest and tell us, what's a fun fact about neurodivergence, your area of expertise, that you feel, you know, most people just don't know about?
Hey, everybody. Thrilled to be here, Bex. Thanks for having me. I think a fun fact is really a space that I've dedicated a good chunk of my life to, which is this population called Twice Exceptional. And what's unique about 2E or Twice Exceptional kids is that they have exceptional gifts and strengths and exceptional areas of struggle, difficulties, differences. And I think a big misconception or a fun fact is that people can have both at the same time. We often don't talk about that, right? We think of like gifted people and people with learning difficulties. And the reality is that it's not so black and white. It's really more like a Venn diagram, if you will, and that people can have both, that they can have both simultaneously and that they can present differently in different settings.
That's a really great visual, a Venn diagram where they actually work simultaneously. You want to know something funny? I think that was a lot of my issue growing up as a kid. I was advanced, highly advanced in some things, but there were some things that I was like, the heck is wrong with me? Like, is there something wrong with me? Like, literally, I'd be like, and it came in the area of comprehension. Like, I was extremely creative. I'm extremely able to, you know, have conversations and think of things and lead. And I mean, just like a lot of things, you know, and when it comes to material, I really do understand it. But when I'm reading something legitimately, I will look at it and stare and be like, what did I just read? Why can't I get that in my brain? And I struggled through college because nobody knew about, I guess, 2E. And so I would wake up at 5 a.m. and go to bed at midnight every day, because the majority of the time I was like this, studying, like my face. I'm just staring down and I'm writing. I'm rewriting everything. And I'm talking to myself out loud. And I'm looking for ways to like record myself so I can hear it again. It was just, I did all the stops. Do you find that some people have gone through this too? And they learn from you and they're like, oh gosh, I'm not weird.
Absolutely. No, that, by the way, is my journey as well. Your story really resonates with me. And this idea, a lot of people who have achieved some level of making it through, whether it be just getting through or being successful or whatever it may be, they have this resiliency. They've developed alternative strategies. You are self-differentiating. You're self-soothing. I'm not going to get the content from reading, but I'm going to get it from, I'm more of an auditory processor, right? So you said, I'm going to record myself and I'm going to play it back and that's going to help me.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. I mean, I think of almost like a board game, like we're like this character, right? And we're like, there's different pathways that we can take forward. And a lot of the times we're just forced to all take the same path, which is one of the biggest problems. But when you think of your little token, like there's certain pathways that are going to make more sense for your little avatar, right? And when you realize like who you are as a learner and how you do things and what your profile and strengths are, then it kind of can become a little bit more clear. But most of us are going through what you're talking about, which is like, I need to do this thing. I'm stupid because I can't. There's something wrong with me. I'm broken. And it's this self-doubt, self-deprecation, just harmful space to exist in. And so many people are there.
Oh my goodness. I mean, you like literally named it, because the majority of the time I was always questioning myself. I'm like, because I'm like, literally, there were just some things that came so easy. Like for me in the arts, oh my gosh, I don't know how or why, but I can look at something. I know how it's built and why it's built that way. It's just blows my mind. That it blows my own mind. I'm like, wow, how do I even know that? I can draw things, no problem. I mean, like you give me a picture, I can legitimately replicate it. I can't myself create it from what's in here, which is really interesting. Like it'll be virtually impossible, but I can replicate it really, really well. It's like dance, no problem. Singing, no problem. Like I very artsy, communications, acting can happen. No problem. I completely understand it. And for years, I didn't understand history. I mean, Sam, I hated history because I couldn't even understand it. I was like, yeah, no,
I was a 10-year history teacher, by the way, so be careful.
But here's the thing. I couldn't get it. It wasn't computing in my brain. I would want to cry. My body would begin to feel weird. I'm like, oh my God, I can't understand this. And then I took an art history class. And I was learning about frescoes, and I was learning about the Baroque period, the Rococo period, contemporary. I learned about all these periods. All of a sudden, guess what happens? Every piece of information of history made sense. I understood why it was financially a certain way during this period due to the kind of paint that it was used. It was crazy. The way that the things were created, the fruits and the grapes, and made me understand it was a very fruitful time. It was a very lavish time. Like everything became completely understandable. I understood why people who were heavier were looked at as very rich, and just all of it. Who was in control at the time? Who were the kings and the queens? All of it made sense through art history. It was crazy. So it's like hearing you talk about this, it just really kind of, it actually makes me feel really good now as an adult. I'm not gonna lie.
I think a lot of adults are on a similar journey, by the way. I think a lot of us look back and, you know, I would say many people in this field are in this field because they're trying to make sense of their childhoods, or they found things that work that they wish they knew, and they want to dedicate themselves to making sure that other kids, that's my story, making sure that other kids don't have to go the same route that they went, right?
Yeah.
If I've walked the path and I can provide a better one for you, then I'm going to, commit myself to doing that. But yeah. What you're talking about, Bex, what you're talking about is inroads, right? And I think a lot of the times education is done backwards. We need to kind of flip it on its head. It's like, everybody, you need to learn this content. This is history, right? But instead, if you start with strengths and interests and someone's something that's going to get someone's heart racing, right? Like I'm obsessed with art. Instead of making me memorize all these facts, describe to me how this art piece is actually much more than meets the eye, right? Describe to me how it's a time capsule, and now make me become a detective, right? And discover, okay, because I see these elements in this piece, I can determine that this period was a period of evolution or of growth or whatever it may be.
Wow, you just like, that was amazing. Yes, like a detective. That's how I felt. And it's so funny because I'm very attracted to detective kind of things. My husband and I we thrive on it. He almost became a cop, to go to be a detective. I almost actually went into, law enforcement. The funny thing is, the only reason why I didn't go into law enforcement back then was I couldn't run. I began to run later on in life. It was really interesting. Had I been able to run at 18, I definitely 100% would have been a police officer. There's no doubt about it. I would have been a detective because I just really, I loved the whole just exploratory and figuring out and so that's how my brain works. And so with all that, very great introduction to what you do. Let's talk more about you and what is it that you do? How do you run your virtual enrichment program for neurodivergent students? Like, talk to us about what Sam does.
Yeah, so I am the director of a virtual program called Young Scholars Academy. It's kind of last name's Young, Sam Young. So I call it Young Scholars Academy. A lot of people don't get
it. Oh, I love it.
And the program is designed in a way that it's really everything we're talking about, Bex. The vision is to completely upend education and get rid of grades, get rid of transcripts, and just focus on passion-based learning for just an hour a week. The research is abundantly clear that a lot of our quirky kiddos are marooned, right? A lot of them, they might be the only kid in their class, the only kid in their school who has this really unique, almost like a thumbprint learning profile, right? Like they're unlike others, they're unique, and they are feeling like they're broken. They're feeling like there's something wrong with them. And it's not that there's something wrong with them, it's just that right. they're in the wrong setting, right? And yes. so it's one of those things where you change the backdrop and all of a sudden, right, it makes so much sense. So several years ago, I sort of committed to leaving the school that I was working at, which was a really industry leader in education. And they were the first twice exceptional school. It's a school called Bridges Academy here in Los Angeles. And I was there for 8 years. I went to there. They have a graduate and research school. And then I left Bridges and decided I'm going to do this, but for the world. I want to create a virtual space where students can come together from, we have a student from Uganda, you know, New Zealand, several students from Canada, all over the United States, Mexico, and Singapore and Australia, and bring these students together and just give them the space where they can look around them and say, like, oh, these kids are just like me. They have the same sense of humor and the same quirks and the same interests. And then look up and say, like, that's an older mentor who's kind of just like me, and really get both of those, the X and the Y axis.
Oh, I love that. That is so great. You know, and it, truthfully, as young adults, like teenagers, you know, tweens, that's so important to find yourself in a community, to find yourself, to find, you know, your tribe. And I talk about that all the time, even as adults, honestly, to find our tribe, to find the people that we're going to run in life with, to find the people that understand us, because it's not going to be everybody. And I think that's something as adults, we need to really be okay with. Mm-hmm. Not everyone's going to understand this. Not everyone's going to agree with us. And that's okay. It's mm-hmm. it's like legitimately, it's fine. It's okay. You do you. Somebody needs you. You know, it's me do me. Like, you know, somebody needs me. And I love that. And I love the fact that you're creating a place for teens, tweens, young adults, whatever, to come in, to even pour out and to be poured into and to, you know, just expand, help them grow. So what are some things when someone comes into your program, what can they find in there? Like, what are some things that they will be able to experience? What will they learn?
I think the first thing is just being seen. You know, a lot of families are in a space where they're like, hey, I have this diagnosis for my kid, or we suspect there's something going on because he's, you know, or she's really bright, but not producing, right? And that's sort of our avatar. Again, going back to twice exceptional students, I describe them as kind of having a foot on both ends of the bell curve, right? If you picture like that bell curve, it's like there's the above average and then the below average. And they're sort of planted firmly in both ends, which makes them unique. They're not just gifted. They're not just learning difference. They're both, always, all the time. And a lot of the times our families are really just like, they're constantly being told what their kid's not doing, right? The kid feels bad. They're seeing specialists. They're being steeped like a tea bag dropped in this hot water of just negative deficit based language. And so one of the first things that we offer is just people being seen and feeling like they belong and that there's nothing wrong. And that maybe, just maybe, everyone else has it wrong, which sounds a little bit like a cult, but I joke that we have this like virtual village that is very much like validating. From there, we try to do sort of unconventional learning. So the stuff that schools aren't doing, but really ought to be, right? We're taking, you know, important things like physics and calculus and so forth, but we're not talking about like cryptocurrency investing or teaching improv or Dungeons and Dragons, like things that are really allowing us to, you know, take turns, role play, establish our and develop our creativity. You know, a lot of the things that probably actually more align with the modern workforce and demands of society than some of these more classical things that we're still doing in school. So I think to answer your question, there's really kind of two things that happen at Young Scholars Academy. One is people find like a sense of belonging and validation. And then two, they find sort of quirky classes that align with their unique interests and profiles.
That's so cool. Like, so that they're able to be, like you said, like more in society, what's happening in society, what's happening in the real world versus a virtual or a fantasy world in a sense. Like, yeah. And I think me being a public school teacher, you always hear, you know, your administration or whatever professional development, you want to connect with the kids where they're at. And I'm like, I get that, but is that really what we want to do? Or do we want to like advance them? Like, do we want them to understand that, yeah, we get you here, but there's a whole world out there that's different. You know what I mean? And we want to be able to help you find your spot, your niche, where you belong, where you're going to make that impact of who you are, like your gift. I tell my students all the time, if you don't develop your gift, where you're at, very individual you, we're going to be missing out a lot in this world. I don't know what you're going to create. I don't know who you're going to affect. I don't know what child you're going to birth one day and raise. Like, I don't know those things. But the fact is, if you don't become you and grow your genius, like, this world is not going to be better. Like, it's changed the day you were born. Everyone who ever came in contact with you, their life has never been the same since. Believe it or not, like, you took up time in the doctor's life. So that area of time, something else that happens, you never know, but it was for you now, you know? So you changed their day, which changed their week, which changed their life, which changed directions. We have no idea the actual domino effect of your birth, you know? So it's like, so I try to like help them understand. And being a bio teacher, I always give them the statistics of how how many sperm actually there are and how many make it to the egg and how many actually make it in. And when I give them that time frame and that statistic, they're like, what? I'm like, guys, you were a fighter and a winner right from the beginning. Like, they're like, I've been pretty tough. Oh, I'm like, yeah, like, yeah,
that's a perspective.
So I love that. I love that. Oh my gosh. So where can people find you? Where can they connect with you? Where can they get on and just learn more about your program and, you know, maybe even hop on a phone call with you and talk to you more?
So we're definitely on social media. I think the best place to go though is to our site. If you're just browsing, it's youngscholarsacademy.org. And so we're also on Instagram at young_scholars_academy and Facebook. It's a lot to think about. Facebook is just like YSA enrichment.
Yeah. I'll put it in your show notes and I will make sure everyone can just click and go.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. Definitely make it super duper easy. So as we're wrapping this up, Sam, what is one huge takeaway you want to leave with families today?
I think the biggest thing is that to thicken your armor a bit. You know, there's a lot of conversation out there about what your child isn't doing or where they're going wrong. And, you know, the reality is that, like, we don't need people to be good at everything. In fact, we sort of want the opposite, right? Societally, we want people who are experts in one space.
So good.
One of my favorite psychologists, who actually I just had the honor of hosting on my show, which was like, wow. I was shaking the whole time, Bex. thank you, doctor. And he's like, call me Joe. Dr. Joseph Ranzulli, he said, no one cares how good of an artist Einstein was or how good of a mathematician Picasso was, right?
Wow.
We don't care about the things that they aren't famous for. And so why do we want our students to be able to do a little bit of everything? We need to allow them space to delve deeply. If your child is struggling in math, that's okay. Not everybody needs to be a mathematician. It's a good way of thinking. And there's definitely benefit to having a logical, sequential brain and understanding different processes for planning, executive function, understanding how time works, not dismissing that. But it may just be that they might be like a poet laureate, right? That they might be an inventor, an entrepreneur, and they, with more time in their space of strength and interest, they will no doubt develop their whole selves, their gift, like you were referring to, and that's how they'll serve the world. So it's just important to kind of build that armor, hold back some of the negative voices and focus really on what's warming your student up. What's the stuff that gets them out of bed in the morning and keeps them up late at night, and then give them space and community to make friends around that and develop that.
No, I agree with you. In fact, I was telling a girl the other day, she's like, I have such high capacity. I can do so many things, but she's getting really stressed out. Like, she's getting a lot of anxiety. And I just really felt, I was like, you know what? Just because you have a high capacity doesn't mean you should do a lot of things. It could be that you are designed for one thing and your capacity for that one thing is why you have such a high threshold. It's so that you can really dedicate it on becoming absolutely a boss there, you know? And I love the way you think. I love the way you think. And I, yeah, families, I just really want to encourage you to really look up Sam Young and Young Scholars Academy and really connect up and find out more about this program, because really what we're looking for at the end of the day is Not that, like Sam said, it's not that we want them to know everything, but we want them to be great at that one thing where they can find fulfillment, where they can find joy, and they can really see their whole self in it. Oh, I love that. Thank you so much, Sam, for coming on and just sharing your expertise, your wisdom, your knowledge, all of your understanding. It's just, man, I feel like a better person after talking
I
with
wish
you.
we had more time. This flew. I can't believe it.
I know. It's just like that.
Yeah,
But
well,
we need to have another conversation for
I would
sure.
Love that.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me. And everyone, yeah, check out youngscholarsacademy.org if you're interested. And at the end of the day, wherever you go, I think what matters most is that you find a place to steep your child where they can explore what they love and just that. Let go of what happens after.
Awesome. Go to Young Scholars Academy. That's where your kid's going to grow. If you love the conversations we're having here on the Homeschool Advantage podcast, follow or subscribe our podcast to stay in the loop and never miss this amazing content. And please highly consider taking a minute to leave a positive rating and review to help others like you discover this show. See you next time.